Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and there is so much that we're learning about the skills and abilities of mind. There's no limit to its capacity. And when you've had personal experiences of your own that end up putting you into a destiny, if you will, of, well, happenings, and you go, what do I do with this? How do I take charge of my life? Well, we're going to be talking with a lady, Kim Romaner. She put together a book called The Science of Making Things Happen, Turn Any Possibility into a Reality. Kim, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here, Donna.
You are the founder of Possibilities Amplified, Inc., and your background for a lot of years has involved business leadership and innovation. But you have embarked into a different arena.
I have.
Not that there's nothing wrong with business. I mean, I think that everybody is in business, whether or not they have an ink behind a name or a title. It doesn't make any difference. We're in the business of living. And that is what your book is about, how to be more aware of how to live life. But let's talk about you being hit by a truck and what happened to you. What was going on in your life that gave you such an aha that it did this phenomenal turnaround for you?
Well, it was sort of a conflagration of events. I was going home one day and in the evening. It had been raining cats and dogs. I was on a road I didn't normally take, a two-lane highway, and an 18-wheeler coming in the opposite direction locked up its brakes and jackknifed between me and the car in front of me. Mm. And we had a head-on collision, and there wasn't anything to be done about it. It happened so fast. There was no response available. 2 weeks prior to that, my husband of 8 years and I had separated, and he'd moved out of the house, leaving me now a single parent of a three-year-old boy. And there was things like the car was an older model. There were no airbags in the car. I had no disability insurance. I was self-employed. And as I was recovering from this, and luckily I had the opportunity to recover, I really didn't know what I was going to do, and I needed to see what my own possibilities were. And it was very hard for me. It was a very dark time, and I wanted to expand my options. And during my recovery, I had this thought that I had almost died, you know, literally mm-hmm. and figuratively, but that I would now have the opportunity to have a second life. And that was very inspiring to me. Then I had a further epiphany that I didn't have to have just one more life. I could have as many as I wanted, and I could design them any way I wanted, with different opportunities and challenges and geographies and work and people and play. And it was as if I could all of a sudden see them there, lying before me in the grass on the back patio of the South Florida home I wouldn't be able to keep potentially, like gems sparkling in the grass. And I thought, if I could just pick these up one after the other and string them together, I could make one big, beautiful life that I would be so happy to have lived when I was finally and really on my deathbed. And that image has inspired me for years.
There is a lot of passion when you're speaking, and I understand that, because when you go through something like this, it never, ever goes away. It's there with you for always. It's as if you've been given a phenomenal gift. But let's talk about some of the concepts that you have in here. You have 5 secrets that you go into discussion about in The Science of Making Things Happen. Let's talk about getting into the wave or the particle mode. Mm. What was this that you discovered? Because I like to call it the zone, but you also had some interesting questions to get somebody into the wave mode. If this could work, how would it work? If I did know the answer, what would it be? If I started the day, what could I get done by the end of the week? If I had one critical resource I needed to make this happen, what would it be? If my dream had already come true, what would my life look like now? Now, these are questions, and of course, I've run through them rather quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But let's take them in context and then explain the wave.
This comes from quantum physics. It's really about the dual nature of everything, that subatomic particles have the properties of both particles and waves. And when a subatomic particle is in the wave mode, all possibilities are available to it. For example, an electron is not in this very fixed orbit around the nucleus of an atom. It's actually everywhere at once within a certain distance of that nucleus. And there's only a couple things that can make an electron choose one of those possibilities over another. And the particle mode is when that choice has been made. So for us, those same modalities apply. In the wave mode, all possibilities are available to us. This is the moment before we make a choice, before we make a decision. And we, unfortunately, one of the characteristics of being human is that we have blinders on. We don't see all of the possibilities that are available to us. So by working on focusing on getting into the wave mode where we can see more of those, by asking those unlimited questions, we open up a whole world of possibility to ourselves that just seconds before was completely invisible to us.
You talk about the positives and negatives of the wave and particle mode. Tell us what those are.
You need to not spend too much time in either mode. If you're spending too much time in wave mode, you're dreaming, you're imagining, you're thinking of all the possibilities, but you're not really doing much. So you'll feel that in your life, that not much is actually happening. If you spend too much time in the particle mode, that is, you've chosen and you're acting, doing, you know, you will feel more like a hamster on a wheel if you're spending too much time there. So the key is to find the balance between those two modalities so that you dream, you spend some time dreaming and you spend some time doing and creating in the world.
You talk about designing the destination. Give us some steps for designing a destination. And what is a destination?
You know, the destination is the vision, getting crystal clear about what it is that you're trying to create in your life or business. And that destination is so critically important, and being very clear about it is important because it's what I call the first step of the possibility amplification process. It's where everything begins. If we don't know what we want, the universe doesn't either. And if we're looking to have help in creating what we want, we need to give clear instructions about that. So the steps to creating the destination are to get clear, to write it down. I recommend writing it down. Make it as solid and as real as you possibly can. Ask yourself those unlimited questions. Get yourself into wave mode so that the vision you create is not too small. You don't want to constrict yourself with what you've imagined. And be willing to change that over time. You know, as you get better at this process, you will expand that vision and grow it. And, of course, that's really what life is all about.
That is true. You make you created a question in your book. Wouldn't it be cool if you what you really are is a being composed of energy capable of molding other energy into anything you can imagine? That's sort of like working for Pixar and,
exactly,
you know, taking fractals and making them into something that's utterly, utterly phenomenal. Give us an example of how you've done this in your own life.
Okay. Well, you know, writing this book is one example. It's been on my goal list since 1984, and I turned it into reality. But there are many examples from the past where I imagined something and made it come true. I wanted to be a published author many years ago and accomplished that first through an essay. As an example, a newspaper purchased an essay I wrote. So I like to focus on my writing because I enjoy the writing so much. But there's a million things, you know, and if you think about it, everybody is in this process of creation all the time. The point is, are we doing it consciously or unconsciously? You know, I decided that I wanted to get married and I got married. I wanted to have a child and I had a child. I wanted to start my own business. I started my own business. I wanted to work for the Miami Herald. I worked for the Miami Herald. I was successful there. I created each of those opportunities. If I went back and looked at those choices at any given time, might I have done something different? Possibly. Was I consciously creating back then? Sometimes. Sometimes not so much. So I think it's this awareness that you mentioned at the very top of the show, Donna, that is so critical, because if we are really trying to turn our dreamed of and desired possibilities into reality, that process requires us to be very conscious of what those choices are.
You have a quote by an author, C. Wright Mills, "Freedom is not merely the opportunity to do as one pleases. Neither is it merely the opportunity to choose between set alternatives. Freedom is, first of all, the chance to formulate the available choices, to argue over them, and then the opportunity to choose." That's quite a deep statement. Because there are those people that would say, I live in such a culture, such and such a culture, and it's not possible for me to have choices. And I think to myself, yes, it is. It is possible to have choices. But if you can't discuss something, and if you can't bring it out in the open, and if you can't feel it, see it, taste it, smell it, if it isn't filled with intention, the likelihood is you may think you actually do not have choice. What's your take on that?
I think you're absolutely right, and that refers back to the blinders that I mentioned. And these blinders are given to us by our parents, by our peers, by teachers that we can't even remember their faces anymore, by culture, our society. And we live inside that box for the most part. And, you know, there are reasons why. It's painful to get out of the box sometimes. It will cause people around you to respond and react, and generally negatively. You folks that actually are trying to make their dreams come true and get outside the box will get lots of change back messages, and most people will. They will change back. They will tuck their dreams in a back pocket and forget they ever existed. And to me, that is a great tragedy, because I really believe in protecting the integrity of your dreams. And I know from my research that all possibility is available. In fact, humans are so good at turning possibility into reality that we've even turned the impossible into reality. And you could probably think of a couple examples of that right off the top of your head. Like flying, for example. We manipulated our reality to the point where we humans can now fly despite what we once thought about our capabilities. And I think in the next couple of decades, we're going to see amazing things evolutionarily for humans, taking advantage of this new quantum science that will be like magic to us as we think about it now. But when we go forward, it'll seem like every day.
I so agreed with one of the stories that you gave about an experiment that a professor did with his students. And he gave certain students pieces of paper, and on those papers it had one word, teacher. The others had a piece of paper, and it said learner. Tell us about this interesting experience that the students went through in doing this experiment with the professor overseeing it all.
The experiment was that you were asked to administer, this was Stanley Milgram, you were asked to administer shocks to someone in another room if you were the teacher. You were asking questions, and if the wrong answer was given, you would administer a shock. And for every wrong answer, the shock would would increase until it was quite a lot of voltage, as far as you knew, looking at the piece of equipment. And if there was any hesitancy on the part of the quote teacher, the volunteer, to administer the shock, the authority figure that was standing there, this professor in the white lab coat, would insist that they continue with the experiment. It's fine. We must get to the bottom of this. We must continue the study. Even when the other person in the other room was screaming or pounding on the wall in pain. Now, there was no pain. This was all a fabrication. The person in the other room wasn't even being administered a shock, but as far as that volunteer knew, they were, and they were giving it. And amazingly, the majority of people continued to administer the shocks up until the highest level because of this authority figure there. And there are other studies in the book, some very bizarre things that people were made to do because they felt that they were talking to or dealing with an authority figure. And we have a tendency to give away ourselves to authority figures. And this could even be your significant other, your parents, mm-hmm. you know, your boss. We give our power away. And so in my book, I talk about the danger of that and hopefully empower folks to be their own authority figure and to not let others knock them off their course.
I think that's one of the biggest changes that is occurring in our world today. You look at history and those that typically went against authority figures, and we're living through it right now. We have politically, socially, internationally, there are these huge conflicts that are going on, not that they haven't gone on before, but people now, I believe, are stating, I'm not a sheep. I am someone. I can think for myself, and I can be resourceful. And I think that this is very empowering to some, but in another way, it's scary to others, because when you have been indoctrinated to be dependent in a way and manner that you've acquiesced to other people's expectations, it's pretty tough to reframe yourself, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, we're going to see this in our workplaces going forward as Gen Y begins to take over and the generations beyond that, because those kids have grown up watching their parents get laid off. They've grown up watching corporate loyalty dissolve. And they have their own way of being in the world, which is, it's about my contribution, and it's not about how many hours I sit at this desk or about following and conforming all of the rules and things that you think I need to conform to. So I think we're going to see more and more of this autonomy occurring in the workplace. And so for the baby boomers who are still in the executive and managerial positions, this is going to become potentially more and more uncomfortable, because we were taught to conform and to obey much more so than this younger generation has accepted. And so I totally agree with you, and I think there's going to be a huge shift in how companies are run and even perhaps how families are run, how governments are run, and so on. It's a really turning point, I think, right now.
Yes, it's a very critical turning point.
Yeah.
And it is going to have a ripple effect that goes around the world. In fact, there's many things that are going on right now that when I look at them and I watch them, and a lot of people perceive them as being negative, I think this is good. It's mm-hmm. being brought to the surface. It's sort of like having a series of boils. You have to lance them to get the infection out. And when things reach that point of poisonous sustenance and substance, then by golly, you've got to bring it to the surface so that it can be allowed to, again, be lanced, so that the poison and that which is not healthy, not good, can be drained out, drained away, so that things can be healed. And you have one of my favorite actors mentioned in here, and I think of so many women that just swooned over this man, and he had a delightful name originally, Archibald Leach. Now, for those of you that are younger, you may say, who is Archibald Leach? Good Lord, who'd ever name their kid that? Well, this was the heartthrob of heartthrobs, Cary Grant. handsome, just absolutely debonair, everything, you know, that he ever did in film. I mean, women would just sit there and go, yes, you could come home with me anytime. And you brought him up in the book because Cary Grant is an actor. Was so good. He really was good. He was his part. He said he pretended to be somebody he wanted to be until finally he became that person, or perhaps that person became me. And I've heard this so many times. Address this.
This is a technique I call Cary Granting It, and it's one step in my 12-step program for the possibility impaired to help you amp it up and to take advantage of all those invisible possibilities that are out there. I believe that there is a you that exists that is already living the dream future that you have, that vision that you've created in your mind or that you would like to have. And because as we go through this process of creation about bringing our desired possibilities to life, it changes us. And we need to be different people than we are now in order to live in that dream future. So who is that you 2.0, if you will? And Cary Grant is an excellent example because he came from a horrible childhood. His father was a drunk and a philanderer. His mother was put away in a mental institution, although I think primarily for convenience because she interfered with the philandering. And he finally ran away to the circus at 14. Cary was told that his mother had abandoned them. He ran away to the circus. He came to the States and got his first contract with Paramount, who was a studio that named him Cary Grant. But all along, he knew who he wanted to be and where he was going, and as he says, pretended. But I would tell you that Cary Grant was inside him all along, mm-hmm. that he had everything he needed to be Cary Grant, and so that's why he was able to become Cary Grant, because he really was Cary Grant inside. And so all of us are exactly that way. We have everything we need within us. We just need to be able to reach in and tune into that and amp it up.
I thoroughly enjoyed your story that you have in here about being at a cocktail party. Mm-hmm. You were single, and it's a cocktail party joke about men in your hometown of Miami. Share that with my audience.
Well, you know, as we mentioned earlier, I was separated back then in 93 when I got hit by this truck. And I was single for a very long time. I dated here and there and so on, but really had a very hard time finding someone that I thought would be a good mate for me. And so the joke was this. I would put my hands about shoulder width apart and say, here's all the men in Miami. And then I'd put them closer together and say, here's all the straight guys. And put them closer together and say, well, here's all the, you know, the sane guys. Here's the fit guys. Here's the handsome guys. Here's the guys that are tall enough. I'm a very tall woman. And, you know, by the time I would get done describing this, my hands would be tightly together without even room between them for a molecule of air. And so at that point, you know, after going through that exercise a while, I had to finally say, hey, maybe it's me, you know, maybe it's the way I'm going about trying to bring my vision to life, because I had a written vision about the man that I wanted in my life. And when I went back and read it, I realized that I'd written the anti-ex-husband vision, you know, the anti-vision, which was, I don't want my ex-husband again, please, you know, and that's not a very good way to place an order with the universe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to work on that, and I did, and now I'm remarried to a lovely, lovely man who is everything that I really hoped and wished for.
Well, for those of you out there searching for that special someone, you might find this information and her suggestions in The Science of Making Things Happen very, very useful. Let's talk about creating the ultimate self. So many of us have parts of ourselves we haven't even begun to explore. And we sometimes think, oh my goodness, my age, whether you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 100s, I don't care. There is this societal type of attitude that, gee whiz, you're just not going to be able to do anything after a certain point. And I've known so many people that have turned their lives around, like you and so many others, and have ended up doing things that have been absolutely so unlike anything they ever anticipated, pulling out talents that they had been utilizing all of their lives, but they took for granted. How would you encourage someone to discover their talents, to recognize their strengths instead of focusing on what they think they don't have?
Well, you know, I believe I mentioned in my book a fabulous resource called Now Discover Your Strengths. It's a book, and Marcus Buckingham is the author, and it was created based on a huge number of Gallup poll surveys with business people around the world. And it was fascinating to me what it revealed about me to me. They have 35 strength themes in the book, and I really didn't know that those were my strengths. I mean, some of them I had glimmers of and stuff, but you know how it is. When you're trying to come up with your own attributes, it's hard. You can look at someone else and say, oh, he or she is great at this or that or the other thing, but when you think about yourself, you kind of feel like you're diffused, you're not quite sure. And this book helps you to get very clear about that. But what I liked most about that discovery process was I was the kind of person who said I never had a passion for something in life. And after I did this exercise, I realized that, oh my gosh, these strengths are my passion. You know, I'm very good at things like analysis and strategy and finding the patterns in things. And when I'm doing those things, no matter what I'm working on, I'm really happy and I am pursuing my passion. So, you know, sometimes we think that a passion has to be, you know, woodworking or helping children or whatever it is. It has to be this thing outside of us. But sometimes the passion is just inside what you're doing, what you're good at, and what really turns you on mentally and spiritually. And mm-hmm. So I would recommend that book and that process to anyone.
You have a very powerful story. You actually have a number of very powerful mm-hmm. stories in your book, and this one I will share after we're finished because I think it is very important. But I want my listeners to know that the science of making things happen, turning any possibility into a reality, is not mumbo-jumbo. It is something where you have to take responsibility for yourself. So part of that responsibility is being open and receptive to different paradigms of thinking, to be willing to invest in yourself, no matter what your age is. And the time to do it is right now. And this is a good book to start with. Kim Marcel Romaner, I would like to know what your website is so people can go and check it out.
Thanks. It's called possibilitiesamplified.com. That's possibilities, plural, amplified.com. And folks there can sign up for my free possibility tips newsletter, and I'll send them reminders of their capability to turn possibility into reality.
That's absolutely wonderful. Well, the science of making things happen, it's a great way to finish out a powerful week. Also, what's inside the book, and I won't give you any more than this, is the inverse Zeno effect, decoherence, you know what that is, you have to get the book to find out, and epigenetics, an aspect about that as well. So I hope you're intrigued, and I encourage you to add this book to your library. This is Donna Sebo. Kim Romaner, thank you very much for being my guest today. It's been a delight. For those of you listening, we're taking a break. We're going to be back in just one moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open, and you can give me a buzz if you like. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Oh, now, by the way, I've got broadcasts tomorrow in Lexington, Kentucky, and Birmingham, Alabama, I believe. And if you want to get the information, my email newsletter went out today. And you can go ahead and go onto the website, and you'll be able to find out all about the broadcasts that are going to be occurring live in different parts of the country. And you will, if you so desire, be able to tune in and listen to them and maybe share it with friends and family that might be in those local areas, because it will be on what we call terrestrial radio. Also, for those of you that have had paranormal experiences, I'd love to hear from you. And I would like you to send me an email about those experiences, because I'm putting a book together. I'm collecting 100 stories. And my goodness, they are stories that are all over the map in description. And that's what I love. The reason being is that there's not just little, this is black, this is white, this is what happens with paranormal. You can have similarities, but every person's experience is unique to themselves. So I would really like to hear your story. And if you would like to give a submission to the publication that I'm working on, then send it to Donna at Delphi, D-E-L-P-H-I, International.com. That's Donna at Delphi, D-E-L-P-H-I, International.com. Well, we are in summertime. Now, you wouldn't know it here in the Pacific Northwest. It's been raining, for heaven's sakes. We have a couple of days of sunshine, and then it's like the nature's PMS system starts working overtime, and we've been getting rain, although I think we're going to have a pretty wet year up here anyway. But we keep beating our tom-toms, and apparently we're going to have some sunshine over the 4th of July weekend, which is really a good thing. But during the summer, what do you see? You see a lot of people out and about. Why? Because the weather is awesome. It's a good time to get into shape and to get your exercising. The weather is so pleasant, unless you're in a place where it's 120 degrees, then you're going to be out doing all kinds of activities. It's just a delight. And here in the Pacific Northwest, a little bit of sunshine, everybody gets outside. I mean, we're out there, and we're so acclimated to the wet, we're park duck here, and we just have our, you know, our ponchos or whatever we need to get us through whatever rainy distribution of liquid gold that we get, and we keep on going. So you see bikers out, you see people running, you see power walkers. People just absolutely love being out of doors. Well, there's many ways of keeping yourself into shape, and I thought I'd just give you some information about some people that have just done awesome things to keep physically fit, and they range from the age of 6 years of age up to 91. Well, I'm going to start with the 91-year-old. Now, I'm not going to be talking about Jack LaLanne. Jack LaLanne is 96. This is a guy who exercises 2 hours every day. He does an hour of weightlifting, and he does an hour of swimming. He is in phenomenal shape at 96 years of age. Well, you can be too. But this 91-year-old, he didn't want to do what Jack LaLanne did. His name was Irvin Ashley. He's in Springfield, Oregon. He would climb 2,000 steps. You're hearing me correctly. At 91, 2,000 steps every day, 5 days a week to keep in shape. Is that a visual for you at 91? I loved the 93-year-old woman that I saw who was a ballroom dancer. I mean, this lady was good. She wasn't wearing a Victorian dress when she did ballroom dancing. Mm-mm. She had dancer's legs. So we've got a lot to look forward to, right? Well, also, Try a six-year-old. Now, can you imagine, do you know any six-year-olds? Can you imagine a six-year-old doing 10,000 push-ups in 3 hours and 20 minutes? It will be a long time before I would even consider attempting something like that. Well, this young man's name is Lu Dai. He was at a kung fu school in Shaoxing, China. And this occurred in 2006. So he is now 10 years old. Who knows what he's doing at this time? But he performed by doing 10,000 push-ups. And I've got a photo of him in front of me. And he's just a little guy. Little guy. And his coach was there with him. But do you know, being 6 years old, and he was doing this in a competition at a school, the director of the school was so impressed with his six-year-old's accomplishment that he decided to waive the boy's tuition fees for the next 10 years. Whoa. Amazing. If he did that when he was six, you wonder what he did later on. Also, there's Sharon Linter and Lorraine Jones, Steve Hammond and Ryan Jones. They decided they were going to keep themselves fit by playing nonstop table soccer for a charity for the homeless. And they did this. Think how you'd feel after you did this. For 33 hours, 35 minutes in Swansea, Wales. I mean, that is beyond me. I just absolutely astonished. Well, apparently 2006 was a year for setting records because there was a Welshman, Dave Cornwaith. He decided he was going to skateboard the length of Britain. That's 900 miles. That has to be uncomfortable. He did it. But you know what? He decided he was going to make an even bigger challenge for himself. He skateboarded 3,000 miles across Australia. Now, he's 27 years old. He's a graphic designer. He went from Perth in Western Australia to Brisbane, Queensland on the country's east coast. And he went through desert, pretty hot. And he lasted 90 days. He said when he arrived in Brisbane, he mostly skated early in the day because it was far too hot during the day to do anything else. Skateboarding. You wonder how in the world he managed to do it. But do what he did. We human beings are interesting creatures. We usually do things because we're bored or we decide we want to find out what kind of a person we are, what. And doing challenges like that really set the bar. And I think we can all do that for ourselves in one way or another. And I want to share a story with you. This comes out of Kim Romaner's book, The Science of Making Things Happen. And this really, really impressed me because women throughout the world typically are horribly, horribly oppressed. And it has to do with religion, it has to do with culture, it has to do with ignorance and superstition, illiteracy, and it is a sad thing to be aware of. However, there are those individuals, just like in the early days of the United States, that stand up and say this is no longer acceptable. Well, there was a little girl whose name is Abe. And she was Ethiopian, and she was part of a tribe called the Afar tribe. Now, Phil Borges is a photographer who travels around the world and especially focuses on the welfare of indigenous and tribal people. And that is how Kim learned about this incredible young girl at the time when this condition occurred, who's ended up becoming a powerful woman. He wrote a book, Phil did, called Women Empowered, Inspiring Change in the Emerging World. And you can go to Phil Borges' website, and his last name is spelled B-O-R-G-E-S. And this is what is said. Abe was born into a culture in which girls are circumcised before the age 12. When it came time for her circumcision ceremony, Abe said, no. Her mother insisted. An uncircumcised woman would be ostracized and could never marry. Abe was told this again and again. Her mother became so demanding that it was unbearable for Abe, and she ran away from home to live with a sympathetic godfather. 8 years later, Abe returned to her village and began to work as a station agent for the International Organization Care, supervising the opening of a primary school and health clinic and the construction of a well. After 5 years, she finally convinced one of the women to let her film a circumcision ceremony. She showed the film to the male leaders of the tribe. Not one of them had ever seen a female circumcision, and they were horrified. 2 weeks later, the male leaders called a special meeting and voted 15-2 to end female circumcision in their village. Now, Abe spoke up, said no, when she was 8 years old. Think about that, 8 years old. It was a 20-year journey to abolish the practice of female circumcision in her own tribe, but that was just the beginning. An organization was formed to abolish the practice in other tribes as well, and men and women discussed the issue together. A woman was even elected as a leader. Now, in a world where women had not been allowed to participate in any leadership decisions, suddenly, women had the power to create a change in policy that directly affected them. Women's voices were heard, and those voices made a difference. Abe? Well, her work changed the fabric of her people's culture for all time. It started when she was 8 years old. Never think that one person cannot make a difference. It took years before she was able to pull it all together. And when she did, it got results. And the story portrays some other things, too. How often do we assume people know what's going on? They don't. Can you imagine the men in the tribe assuming the women were doing this just because that's what women do? They had never, ever seen what went on and the horrific result. They were ostracized themselves. And when the men and women together were able to communicate, big change resulted. We have the 4th of July weekend right here. Part of freedom is being able to communicate. And in a lot of environments, that's not permitted, especially when people want to manipulate or to control. Don't ever forget, you do have the right to say no. You do have the right to question. That's part of what the 4th of July really is all about. I know we've got parties. I know we've got lots of fun things going on. But take time out to think about the deeper message. Just for the heck of it, why don't you read the Declaration of Independence and study a little bit of the history? I think you'll be quite surprised. And it'll remind you about what freedom really is. This is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are open if you want to chat with me. 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95, plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Hello, welcome back. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. We've got a caller. I understand her name is Rebecca. Rebecca, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Donna.
Well, it's a delight having you. Are you all ready for the 4th of July weekend?
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, you're more ready than I am. That's really good. Well, it's going to be a great weekend, and I know down... Where are you calling in from, by the way?
I'm calling in from San Jose area.
Oh, it's going to be just wonderful. A little foggy, maybe. Sometimes I can remember when I'd be in the San Jose, San Francisco area during this time of the year. Sometimes it gets really, really foggy, but, oh, beautiful days, absolutely gorgeous days during this time of the year. All right, Rebecca.
Yeah, it's really... Okay.
Okay, I'm sorry. We've got a little bit of a time delay, it sounds like, on the line, so my apologies. First thing, Rebecca, I am looking at is a few tears, and I think they're tears of frustration that I'm looking at. And it's like I feel like I'm going through a very laborious period. It's as if I'm trying to crunch through a bunch of rocks. And if ever you've walked through a pile of small rocks, like some people put on roads or whatever, you hear that crunch, crunch, and you have to be thoughtful about where you put your feet, and you have to take your time. Because unlike a smooth surface, you can't move real quickly. Well, that's not all bad. You need to be able to be thoughtfully and attentively present with what you need to focus on. So those you feel like you're in a little bit of an unsettling patterning at this time. It's going to pass, but it is important that you utilize this lack of feeling like you're all settled in, because you need to be aware you're going to be changing and creating some different choices for yourself. And this is on a personal level as well as on a professional level. So though you don't feel like you've got perfect balance and things are going too slow, they're really not. And I think that you have been blessed with this irritating patterning so that you can really keep your intention and your focus where it needs to be. So enjoy the times where you just stop and just go, oh, I can't go fast enough, and get frustrated with yourself. Have a cup of tea and a piece of chocolate. Relax. And then say, all right, now I can move forward. And do what you need to do as you're able to do it. Because that is what is going to enable you to finally get out of the rocky, unsettling surface of experience onto a smooth road, and then you're going to really be able to move quickly. And I think the speed of change and the movement forward is going to be starting around the 18th of August. So hang loose.
Okay.
Is any of this making sense to you?
It totally is.
Actually, oh, I'm so glad.
Sometimes even when I'm walking, I'll just, weave. I mean, you know, like you said, unsteady. And it's, I don't have a vertigo problem or anything, but it's just staying steady on my feet. That's interesting you say that.
But you've got other things in your life, too, that are going on.
Right.
That you're not feeling stable with.
Oh, correct.
What's your question for me, dear?
Well, actually, I had just more of a comment as well. I want to get your reading, but you know how you talked about the female circumcision that was going
yes.
on?
Yes.
I actually just read an article that that is now showing up in the United States.
Ah!
I don't know. Let me try this. Donna?
Yes. Are you still there? I think, are you there? We might have lost Rebecca. We're having such a severe time delay process there. But that's okay. No, I have to admit, Rebecca, that I was made aware of this. In fact, my husband, I think it's atrocious. That's why I went, just like this. My husband received an email, and that was one of the reasons when I found this information in Kim's book that I felt it was very, very important to share. There was a clinic that actually had opened up that was doing this to women so they could go back to their tribes or whatever it was. And I just think it's atrocious. I think it is hideous. And that is my personal opinion. It's just beyond me why any medical professional would even consider doing something like this, because it is, to my mind, barbaric. Absolutely barbaric. And I bet you nobody knows when this started or who, as a sadistic individual, decided that this needed to be done to women. And if they did find out, they ought to find out how much, whether it was a male or a female that decided this. So often things start, and then once it gets into the psyche of people, it's next to impossible to get it out. And let me tell you about something else that happened. This is with Catherine the Great. Oh, we've got it. Have we got Rebecca back?
Yes.
Oh, hi, Rebecca. I'm sorry. Something happened with the phone line. What was your question, dear?
Actually, I was just making the comment, and I missed what you were saying because I had my computer sound turned down, just about the female circumcisions starting
yes.
to show up in the United States.
Right, and my comment was that my husband had received an email about a clinic that was doing this for people.
Uh-huh.
And I just made the statement just now, and you didn't hear it, but I thought it was unconscionable on the part of a medical professional to even do this for anyone. Because it is just hideous. Now, yeah, I don't care if they're using Novocaine or what. I just think that it's a barbaric practice. And nobody even knows when this started.
I know, huh? Yeah.
And it's amazing.
So anyway, exactly.
Well, I so appreciate your calling in, Rebecca. And you have a wonderful 4th of July weekend.
You too as well. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. By the way, if you get any more information on that, be sure and call in and let me know.
Okay, I'll search the web and let you know. Thank you.
You're welcome, Rebecca. This is Donna Siebel, and I know we're out of time, and we're not going to be able to take any more callers. Now, tomorrow, we have a wonderful guest. I got confirmation. He is going to be with me. His name is Ricky Roberts. We're going to be talking about where did the gift go. By the way, all the listings of my guests for the month of July are up on BBS now, so you're going to have all that information, and I was a little bit later than normal in getting it up because I was waiting for calls from certain guests. So tomorrow we're going to be talking about where did the gift go, and you'll have to tune in to find out what the gift is. Ricky Roberts, again, is going to be my guest. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. If an 8-year-old girl can make a choice and be decisive, I know you can too. Remember, this is your life. Live it with quality, with integrity, and above all, be true to the real you, because that is the gift that you're bringing to this experience we call life. This is Donna Siebel. We'll be talking with you tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.